Morning. Today's daf is daf Kuf Yud Kuf Yud Beis 112 in Zvachim. When the bottom on the Mishnah Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, where we continue now, finishing up the 13th parak of Zvachim and begin, God willing, this morning the 14th parak of Zvachim. So the Mishnah goes like this: Hamalikas Alf Bifnim. So you do Malika to a bird and you do it inside the Hela Bechutz and you bring it outside Chayiv, so you're going to be Chayiv. So again, as we finish up the 13th parak, we all know that there are two separate Yisurim. There's the Yisur of Shchutei Chutz and there's the Yisur of Halabah Chutz. Now we go into the world of birds, and we discuss this in the context of birds. Birds is going to be a little bit trickier, because by birds it's not Shchita, it's Malika. It's a different process altogether. You, instead of shechting the bird by taking a knife and cutting it from the front of the neck, so the Kohen takes his fingernail and starts it and presses it into the back of the neck of the bird, and that's what's called Malika. Normally what Malika would render the bird a treifa, if done outside the Beis HaMikdash, but in the Beis HaMikdash, that's the Ratzon HaBar, right? Kadosh Baruch Hu wants us to kill it by inserting the fingernail into the back of the neck of the bird. So the first psak of the Mishnah, first halach of the Mishnah, is very straightforward. If you do Malika to the bird inside, good, so now it's fit, now it's qualified, now it could be offered on the Mizbeach inside the Azara. And then you bring it outside and you offer it up outside, so you're going to be chayv. You're going to be chayv in halal b'chutz. Okay, that's pretty straightforward.
That's not a
chiddush. Right. You can even say not even a chiddush. But the Mishnah, as you're going to see, is very organized. The Mishnah is going to go through a number of these cases. Malak b'chutz v'halal b'chutz pater. Oh, so we'll start off with the chiddush now. Now if you do malika outside and you do the halal outside, you're going to be pater. On both counts, you're going to be pater. Okay, why? Because once you do Malika outside the Beit HaMikdash, outside the Azara, you've rendered the bird an Avela. So now you render the bird an Avela. It's not fit to be born in the Mizbeach. It's nothing. So now you burn it outside. Again, it's nothing. So the Mishnah says that you're going to be Pater. Alright, let's do it like this. Let's say you shech the bird inside the Azara. Okay, shechting is not what you're supposed to do. What you're supposed to do is you're supposed to do Malika. So shechting inside the Azara disqualifies a bird. And then you offer it outside, so you're offering a bird which is disqualified. You remember, the only time you're going to violate the issue of halav achot is only if you bring something outside which was fit to have been brought inside, and this is simply not fit. And so therefore you're going to be pater. On the top of the next amud, the Mishnah continues, shach b'chutz v'halav achot chayav. If you shech the bird outside and you offer it outside, you're going to be chayav. Now, right, this gets exciting. So now, you did shechita to the bird, but you did it outside. Okay, so, right, it's, you know normally how two wrongs don't make a right? So, here two wrongs do make a right. Well, not a right, but make it so now that you're chayav. Right, so, right, meaning in other words, this is something where you were supposed to do Malika, but you did Shechita. This was something you're supposed to do inside the Beis HaMikdash, you did outside the Beis HaMikdash. So that's wrong and wrong, but outside the Beis HaMikdash is where you shech the bird, not where you do Malika to the bird. So now it is Nishchat, it is considered a slaughtered bird. There is some effectiveness to the Shechita, so that now you're going to be chayv on, number one, Shechutei Chutz, and number two, you're going to be chayv on Halal B'chutz. Rashi says both. Right, the top Rashi on the page, Af al Halal, Shechita B'chutz Ba'of, Rabbi Rachmana, May O Asher Yishchat. In other words, shechting, when does shechting and birds ever go hand in hand? By a carbon. So Rashi says normally it wouldn't, but we have a ribui. Pasuk concludes this case as well. And then Rashi continues, V'ha'ala sonami amrin l'kaman v'alem tamar la'arev parshios. Meaning we have the v'alem tamar, we quoted the psukim from Parshas Achrimos. V'alem tamar tells us that there is a connection. So if I'm going to be chayav on shechutei chutz, I'm going to be chayav on halal b'chutz as well. T'choshim is chayav al shechita so b'chutz im hazar v'alan o acher chayav. Okay, good. I'm sorry, Chazav Ha'alan, Acher Chayev.
Anybody.
Good. So you're going to be Chayev. Since you violated the Yisr of Shechutei Chutz, now you're also going to violate the Yisr of Halal B'chutz as well. Good. And then the Mishnah says, Nimsta Derech Echshero Bifnim Pturo B'chutz Derech Echshero Mi B'chutz Pturo Mi Bifnim. So it turns out now that the Derech Echshero Bifnim, if I do it in a way which would create a hechsher. The word hechsher is a strange word over here, because we're talking about liability. We're talking about isurim. All right, so The Gemara is going to touch up that word, if you will, in just a moment. But nimza derech hechsher b'fnim, if the, I'll just read the Mishnah Kipshuto. The proper way that it was done inside, p'tur b'chutz, is going to be put on the outside. And derech hechsher me b'chutz, but the, if I do it the proper way outside, p'tur b'fnim, I'll be putter from the inside. So again, we go to the Gemara, I'll explain that line a little bit better. Rabbi Shimon Amar, kol shechayav al b'chutz, chayav al kayotz b'fnim. Shehela b'chutz, chutz. I'm sorry, shehela b'chutz. Chutz min ha-shochet b'fnim o'mala b'chutz. And Rabbi Shimon disagrees. He says, look, if you're going to be chayav on it outside, you're going to be chayav on it inside. And you're going to be chayav on it inside, that which is offered outside. With exception, chutz over here means with exception to shechting it inside and offering outside, because when once you shecht it inside, you've rendered it an avail, it's nothing. What's Rabbi Shimon arguing? What's his point of what's his counterpoint to the Tanna Kamma? So again, stay tuned. Wait a little bit because the Gemara is going to discuss that as well.
You say it rents
a nevela
if it doesn't fit inside. Would it be a
nevela
or just can't offer
it? Nevela. Rashi says it here. If not, Rashi does not say it over here.
Okay.
Okay. Rashi says, doing Malika outside renders it a nevela.
No,
you're right. I hear you. Okay. I feel like we discussed it, and I don't have a recollection. So the Gemara says, what does it mean, hechshero? The wording of the Mishnah is a little bit strange, so the Gemara says, tini chiyuva. Okay. Yeah, it's a little bit strange. In fact, it's so strange, we're going to touch up the Mishnah a little bit. The Mishnah, even though it says the words hechshero, we're going to learn chiyuva. Now go back to the Mishnah. And the Mishnah is going to read like this. Nimsa, we find, derech chiyuva bifnim, the way to be chayv on the inside is pater b'chutz. You're going to be exempt on the outside. Meaning, how am I chayv on the inside? I have to do malika. Right? Not shchita. And what if I do that outside? I'm not chayv. And derech chiyuva mi b'chutz, and the way that you're going to be chayv on the outside, meaning shchita, is p'tur b'fnim, it's going to make pata on the inside. Meaning if I do that on the inside, shchita, I'm not going to be chayev. Okay, they're good. So we touched up the Mishnah reads a lot better. Now we get to the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon argues with the Tanna Kamma. That part's clear. What's really not clear is, what is he arguing with? What point did the Tanna Kamma make, is Rabbi Shimon arguing with? Now there are 4 points altogether, I don't know if you've been counting, but case number one, just quickly let's review. Case number one, I do the malika to the bird on the inside and offer it outside.
That's
your chayiv. Case number two of the Mishnah, I do malika on the outside and offer it outside. Your putter. Okay. Malika outside renders it a nevela. Case number three in the Mishnah, shechting the bird inside and offering it outside, going to be putter. Okay, because you don't shech the bird inside. Case number four in the Mishnah, Shacha b'chutz v'hela b'chutz, you're going to be chayev. Okay. What? Each.
What was the fourth case?
No?
What was the fourth case?
Fourth case, shechting it outside and offering it outside. You're going to be chayev.
It was the. Okay. It was medical outside.
Now, after having now reviewed all four cases, which one does Rabbi Shimon argue with? Each case seems to be pretty solid and pretty straightforward. So the Gemara, okay, so Gemara's going to try each one. Gemara is a testing ground. Rabbi Shimon Amar Ahecha Kai. So which case is he going about? Ilem Aresha Kai. So let's talk about maybe the first case, which is Amalek Opifnim Ve'ala B'chut Chayef. So Gemara is going to spell it all out. You do Malika to the bird inside and you offer it outside, you're going to be Chayef. So Malek B'chut Ve'ala B'chut Pater. Which means then that if I do Malika outside and I offer it outside, I'm going to be Pater. The Amale Rabbi Shimon, and now Let's try to see if Rabbi Shimon can be plugged in over here. And here's where Rabbi Shimon says, no, ki heichet debifnim mechayev, b'chutz nami mechayev. I don't understand. If I'm going to be chayev for pnim, I'm going to be chayev for chutz as well. Meaning malika should render it a...
both ways.
Right? It should go both ways. And if I do malika outside, it should be chayev. So the Gemara says, it doesn't fit into the words of Rabbi Shimon. Right? Rabbi Shimon says, look back in the Mishnah, just look up to the third line on the page. If you're chayav outside, then you're going to be chayav inside. So our first suggestion is the opposite, the other way around. So the Gemara says, "Hi, kosher chayav on the chut, kosher chayav on the bifnim ibayilei." What the Mishnah should say is, "Well, if you're chayav on the inside, i.e., malika, you should be chayav with malika on the outside." Okay, no good. Ella ki heichad de bechutz amechayav bifnim nami lo mechayav. So the Gemara says, "Okay, so how about this? How about if I do malika on the outside, I'm potter? So if I do malika on the inside, right? Yeah. So if I do malika on the inside, I should be potter as well." So the Gemara says, "Hi kol she'ein chayav in alav bechutz mi ba'elei." Oh, so the Gemara says no, because then Rabbi Shimon would be reading, if you're not chayav on the outside, which we've already established, malika outside is you're going to be potter. So, and then you want to argue that malika on the inside is going to be potter as well. So then Rabbi Shimon's wording should be kol she'ein chayavin. That's also not going to work out. Okay, ela aseifakai. So let's keep going on. Hashochidof bifnim ba'ala b'chutz. So we're now going on to the case of shechita. I shech the bird inside the azara, and I bring it outside. So the Tanna Kama says you're potter. Shecha b'chutz ba'ala b'chutz chayiv. Then the Tanna Kama goes on to say that if I shech the outside and I offer it outside, I'm going to be chayiv. And as we already learned, chayiv means chayiv for both the shechita and the halah. The Amalei Rabbi Shimon. And now let's see if Rabbi Shimon can fit here. Ki heichad bifnim lo mechayiv. Wait a second. If I shecht on the inside and offer it outside, I'm not going to be chayev. Bechutz nami lo mechayev. So you should be chayev as well on the outside as well. Meaning Rabbi Shimon says, keep it even. If shechita on the inside creates a patur, shechita on the outside should also create a patur. Okay, again, it doesn't fit into the words of Rabbi Shimon. Hai kol she'ein chayavim mi ba'elei. Again, Rabbi Shimon says, kol she'chayavim, and it should be kol she'ein chayavim. So what do you want to tell me? That just like if I shecht outside I'm chayev, so too if I shecht inside I'm chayev. Haktani chutz min ashochei bifnim va'amala b'chutz. No, because we know Rabbi Shimon says straight out that if I shecht inside and I offer it outside, I'm going to be chayev. Okay, so we're kind of stuck. Meaning we know Rabbi Shimon argues, but after having gone through each one of the cases in the Mishnah, we just simply cannot plug in the words of Rabbi Shimon on any one of the cases that the Tanna Kamma was referring to. Okay. So it's a tough issue. It's a tough problem. The Gemara is going to have 1, 2, 3 answers to this problem. Okay. Each one of them requires reading more into the Mishnah or changing the words of the Mishnah. Okay. In other words, you know, it's like any serious medical issue. So the procedure is going to be a serious procedure. So Amar Ze'iri. So we start off with the Ziri's suggestion. Shechita behema balayla ikabeinayo v'hachi kamar. Right? It's we're going to add more to the Mishnah. Meaning, even though you know the Mishnah here is talking about birds, because this is the right one of the last Mishnayos of the 13th Perek. We've been talking about shechut echutz throughout the whole Mishnayos, and now the Mishnah is treating the subject on birds. And then what Ziri is going to suggest is that for a second we're going to shift back to animals and talk about animals. It doesn't really fit in so well to the theme of the Mishnah, okay, because the Mishnah is talking about birds, but again, we know Rabbi Shimon's arguing and we got to just figure out what he's arguing about. So he goes like this. Hashochei behema bifnim balayla ve'ala v'chutz pater. Okay, here's what the Tanna Kama's argument is. If I shecht an animal at night, now, we all know at this point in time, you don't do that. You can't shech the carbon at night. No avodah is done at night. The burning of the fats and the limbs are done at night, but okay. Hector chalavim upadarim. But in terms of the actual avodah, the shechita of the animal, it's not done at night. So, okay, fine. So what if I shech an animal at night inside the azara, and then next day I offer it outside? Am I going to be chayef? So the Tanna Kama says no. Because remember, it has to be something which is fit inside in order to be chayv on halal b'chutz, and this is not. Fine. However, shachar b'chutz balayla, but the Tanna Kama says, let's say I shech the animal outside at night, v'halal b'chutz, and the next day I bring it up onto the mizbeach chayv, there I'm going to be chayv. Okay, that is the opinion of the Tanna Kama. Now you're going to say to me, where does he say that? And the answer is, he doesn't. This is the Ziri, what he's inserting into the Mishnah, so that now we could read Rabbi Shimon. But before we get to now Rabbi Shimon's counter-argument, let's see if we can understand this, because this is tough. meaning if I shecht an animal at night outside the Beis HaMikdash, so if I bring it up on a mizbech the next day outside, I'm going to be chayev. Well, what do you mean? You shecht it at night. It's pasul. And Rabbi Shimon's position, which we'll see in just a second, is keep it the same. Same playing field. If I'm putter for doing it inside, I'm going to be putter for doing it outside as well. What did you gain by shechting it outside? So Rashi explains like this. Rashi says, Shachat Shritas Laila Behema Vela Bechutika Benayu. Rashi says seven lines down before the lines become wide. Rashi Chesuri Mechzer Masisim Bemilsa Detanakama Vahachikama. So Rashi says this is what Ziri is doing. He's adding into the Mishnah. This is the style of Chesuri Mechzerah. And this is what he's adding. V'chena shochet b'hema b'alayla b'fnim v'ala b'chutz pater de'enem eskabel b'fnim d'chsiv b'yom tzvachachem v'yafilo also teireid v'rabi Yehudi hidamar b'perakam izbech prat l'nishkata b'alayla. Oh, fine. So according to the Tanakhama, you know what the problem is? If you shecht at a night in the Azara, it is so disqualified. What do I mean, so disqualified? Meaning even if it would go up onto the Mizbeach, take it down, it has no place on the Mizbeach. That's how disqualified it is. Even the Mizbeach cannot tolerate it. Okay? And we've learned in the ninth parak of Zvachim, Mizbeach can tolerate a lot. Things that shouldn't go up onto the Mizbeach, but if placed over there, should be left over there. The carbon that was shechted at night, according to the Tanakhama, Mizbeach cannot tolerate it. Okay. That's if it shechted in the Azara. Now let's go the other way. What if it shechted outside the Azara? So look at the next Rashi, Shacha b'chutz v'ala b'chutz chayev, d'b'shchitas chutz lo shna laila miyom. Okay, so Rashi explains that there's no difference. Outside, shechting during the day versus shechting at night. D'harayi hu lavo el pesach o moed l'machar. Because I could have brought it in the next day. That's a difficult svara.
So if you're shechting outside, it doesn't matter if it's day or night.
Well, that's clear. In other words, that's very clear because the Tanakhama says that you're going to be chay for halal b'chutz.
But that's not consistent, saying that you could have.
Well, that's going to be Rabbi Shimon's point. Rabbi Shimon's point is going to be the inconsistency.
Right.
But I'm just trying to understand the Tanakhama, and so I'm reading Rashi, and it's difficult. But you got to say something. Meaning there certainly is there's some difference between inside versus outside, according to the Tanakhama. So Rashi writes, Now, if I'm going to be chayav on shchut echut, so we're going to be chayav on halab echut, because we know that they go hand in hand. Once you're chayav on one, you'll be chayav on the other as well. Okay, that's the Tanakhama. Now we can read Rabbi Shimon. Okay? I'm making an admission. I don't fully understand the difference between shechting inside versus shechting outside. And Rashi tries to help. Okay? But now that we know the Tanakhama's position is...
Can you do the Tanakhama one more time?
Huh? Yeah, I'll do the Tanakhama one more time. Shechting an animal, a carbon, at night in the Beis HaMikdash, no good at all. So therefore, if I take it, that animal that I shecht and offer it outside, I'm potter. Because the shechita is totally, totally puzzle. How puzzle is it? So Rashi says, even if I put it up onto the Mizbeach, I got to take it down. If I shecht the carbon outside the Azara, and I do it at night, that's okay. Okay meaning, you'll get the liability for shechut echutz. Okay meaning, that if I offer that animal the next day, I'm also going to be chay for halal b'chutz. Okay, why is there a difference? So again, I go back to that Rashi. Rashi
you
says,
bring it inside.
Well, because the next day you could have brought it inside. Okay, I don't fully understand
you
what that means.
Maybe what they're saying is you wouldn't have to take it down. Is that what it means?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
Maybe what they're saying is that when you shech the animal inside, there's no question what your intent is, and you shouldn't have done it. Shechting outside at night, your intent could have been that you just were doing a regular shechita, not for any avoda.
It's possible.
The next day you're changing your opinion, mind.
Okay, it's possible. Certainly possible. I'm not sure. Okay, now, good. Let's go. Now we can read Rabbi Shimon. Because now here's what Rabbi Shimon says. Rabbi Shimon says, please be consistent. Rabbi Shimon Omar, kosher chayav na b'chutz, chayav na koyotze b'bifnim. V'hela b'chutz, I'm sorry, b'fnim, v'hela b'chutz. Rabbi Shimon says, I don't understand. If you're going to get a liability for halal b'chutz, having shechted outside at night, you'll get a liability for shechting it inside at night as well. I can't understand why there would be an inconsistency between whether shechting it outside versus shechting it inside. And the only time, says Rabbi Shimon, see, it's great because it really does read well into the words of Rabbi Shimon. What we had to do is we had to add a case into the Mishnah. But once we added that case, so it really does read well. And the only time that I see a difference between outside versus inside is chutz min ha-shochet of ha-mekabel. I'm sorry, ha-shochet of bifnim ve'ala b'chutz. Where if I shech the bird, then it makes a difference whether I shech it inside versus whether I shech it outside. Because birds is a process called malika. And malika is the way, is a method of preparation. So inside shechita, zero. Outside shechita, significant. Then I see a difference between outside versus inside. But your case of shechting an animal at night, I can't imagine, I don't see a difference between having shechted the animal inside versus shechting the animal outside at night.
Because
good.
But the thing is that, I think when we were discussing that case with the shechting it inside at night, Rashi once said, was the opinion of that if it went up on the Mizbeach, it stayed there.
Right.
So
Rashi,
that's where he's saying the
Rashi,
same thing.
Rashi quotes that, and Rashi says that's why Rabbi Shimon can't see a difference. Because it is acceptable.
That is presumption.
Right. Because it is acceptable. Right. Good. That's a good point, and I should have made that point. Okay. Rava Amar, Rava is going to do basically the same thing. Meaning, again, the problem is, what's Rabbi Shimon responding to in the Mishnah? And if you read the Mishnah as it's presented to us, it doesn't sound like he's responding to anything that the Tanakhama said. So the first answer was, add a case in the Mishnah. Second answer, basically the same approach, but the case is going to be a different case. Rav Amar Kaba Bikli Cholika Beinayu. What if I receive the blood in a non-Kli Shares? A utensil that was not consecrated, that was not sanctified as a Kli Shares. V'hachi Kamar. If I accepted in a kli chol and then brought it outside and offered it outside, I'm going to be potter. Why? Because having received the blood in a kli chol inside is nothing. It's so insignificant. It renders the carbon totally disqualified. Wait, just give me a moment. I mean, let's just finish the thread. If, however, hamakaba b'kli chol b'chutz ve'ala b'chutz chayev. However, if I offered a kli chol outside, if I accepted the blood and kli chol outside and offered outside, so then I'm going to be chayev. And once again now, good, we added that case into the Mishnah. And now you get to hear Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon, amar kol shechayev b'chutz chayev al kayotz b'bifnim. Come on. Again, you're being inconsistent. If you're going to have a hischayevus for having done that outside, you're going to get a hischayevus for doing that inside as well. And the only time, we're going to say it's going to sound similar because it is, and the only time I do see a difference is shechitas ha'of bifnim v'ala b'chutz. So good. Alright, so that's what we've added. And here, I'll make the point before you do, so Rashi says over here that Rabbi Shimon again is consistent to what he said earlier. Meaning, again, it comes back to the issue of, what if I accept the blood in a kli chol, in a non-kli shares? So Rabbi Shimon's of the opinion that im Allah, if it goes up onto the Mizbeach, lo seirei, you don't bring it down from the Mizbeach. So you see that Rabbi Shimon's of the opinion that it's not insignificant. It's not totally disqualified. There's some value to it. So therefore, Rabbi Shimon says, I don't see a difference whether it was done outside, whether it was done inside.
Question.
Yeah.
But for birth, we don't use a kli to collect the blood, do we?
No.
So why are they
No, no, no. When it says kli chol, it means animals.
Oh,
Rav is doing the same thing Zeir is doing. Meaning the Mishnah animals. Shifting to animals and then coming back to birds. Okay.
So what is in the positive symptom then? Whether you take it down or you don't take it down?
Because that,
going the whole,
that shows
the
us...
Process, you know? That's a difference.
I understand that. But that at least shows that there's some value. Okay. Finally, before we go move on to the next Mishnah, Hashta Dini Avu Deshmuel Barav Yitzchak. There was a brisa taught by the father of Shmuel. Hamolik opifnim ve'hela b'chutz chayev. If you do malika to a bird inside, and you offer it outside, you're going to be chayev. Malik b'chutz ve'hela b'chutz pater. If you do malika outside and you offer it outside, you're going to be pater. Good. That's our Mishnah. Ve'rebi Shimon mechayev. Oh, but listen to what the brisa just said. Rabbi Shimon says that under that last case, you're going to be chayev, which is such a huge chiddush. Huge. I did malika to the bird outside the azara. Okay, that usually renders it an avela.
Right.
And Rabbi Shimon says you're going to be chayev. Okay, now that is an awesome chiddush, but...
It doesn't fit into our
Mishnah. No, No, correct.
He's not. He's chayev or not chayev. Rishon said he's not chayev or he's chayev.
He is chayev. He's going to be chayev. Correct. And now that you see that, so Rabbi Shimon hasam chayev v'tani kol shechayav and alav v'fnim v'hela b'chutz chayav and alav v'chutz. Okay, good. And then what we're going to have to do now that we have this braisa. So now what we're going to do is we're going to read Rabbi Shimon, not like Ze'iri, not like Rava, not add a case into the Mishnah, and not have the Mishnah turn to a topic of animals and then come back to birds. Not that. What we're going to do is we're going to take Rabbi Shimon as is in the Mishnah, but we're going to flip it around. We're going to flip Rabbi Shimon around. So this is still, it's a dramatic move in the Mishnah. It's not adding a case into the Mishnah, but it is rewriting a little bit. Right, a little bit, not dramatic, but rewriting the Mishnah, but it does fit into this brisa of Rabbi Shimon. And it's such an unbelievable chiddush that Malika outside you'd be chayv on shchut echutz. Malika outside renders the bird in a veila. Okay, let's go. Let's finish up. Let's do the Mishnah. Let's finish up the perek. Let's start the new perek. Chatzah shekibol dama bekotzecha nasam bechutz vechazav nasam bifnim vechazav nasam bechutz chayev. So I've had carbon chatas, and I accept the blood in a cup. We're back to animals, obviously, right? Because as Ben just pointed out, by birds there is no cup, right? We're back to a regular chatas animal, and I take the blood, and I accept the blood in a cup, and nasam b'chutz, and I offer some of the blood outside the Beit HaMikdash, because I don't know. Forget, you try to explain motivation in all these Mishnahs. Why would he do that? But anyway, so nasam b'chutz v'chazav nasam b'fnim, b'fnim v'chazav nasam b'chutz chayev. So the Mishnah says, look, every sprinkling is significant. Now, of course, we've learned that it's the first sprinkling which is the kicker. That's the one that provides the kapara. And after you've done that, everything else is shayare hamitzvah. Okay, so and it's true that you're not going to be chayav on halah b'chutz for having just done shayari mitzvah, but the Gemara is going to point out that our Mishnah follows the position of Reb Nechemia, which the shayari hadam is ma'akev. Okay, so
because it has to be poured in the base,
it has to be according to Reb Nechemia. Shekula rai b'fnim kibol dama b'shtei kosos. We've dealt with this before, not in the context of our parak of halah b'chutz, but we've dealt with this before, the twin cups. You accept the blood in two separate cups. So b'shtei kosos, nashan shneim b'fnim pater. So if I offer both cups inside the azar, you're pater. Now the word pater over here is used loosely. Yeah. It's not pater. Pater over here, you've done the mitzvah. Yeah. But we just it's just a contrasting word. Shneim b'chutz chayav. If I offer both cups outside, I'm going to be chayav. Echad b'fnim v'echad b'chutz. What if I offer one cup inside and the other cup outside? Echad b'chutz v'echad b'fnim chayav. Al hachitzon v'hapanimi mechaper. Right? You're gonna get a check and an X. A check and an X. So right? So if I offer one outside and the other one inside, so on the one that I offered outside, I'm gonna be chayav, and for the one that I offered inside, so congratulations, you've successfully achieved a kapara. But you're gonna need a new kapara, of course, for the one that I did outside. Lamaha Dova Domer, the Mishnah says, can I give you an example, an analogy? You lost your carbon chatas. Okay, and you lost it, and so now you went and you replaced it with a new one. And now you found your first one. So you have two carbon chatas. Now you're not going to offer both. You can't offer both. It's one chatas per sin. And here you got two. Hare shtehem omdos shachat shtehem bifnim pater shtehem b'chutz chayev. If I shecht both of them outside, I'm going to be chayev. Achas bifnim v'achas b'chutz pater. If I shecht one inside and one outside, I'm going to be pater. Yeah, do you understand that?
Right.
Let me explain that a little bit better. I shecht one inside and shecht one outside, I'm going to be pater. The one that I shechted inside, that's your carbon chatas. Yeah, and then what happens to the other one? The other one is disqualified. It's what we call chatas hamesa. When you have a carbon chatas that no longer has any use or utility to it, it's a chatas hamesa. The halach l'moshe m'sinai is that carbon chatas needs to be put to death. Okay. And wait. too early. Don't jump yet. Just listen first. So that's a chatas hamesa, and that one's supposed to be put to death. You're only going to be chayav on shchut echutz for karbanos that are fit to be brought inside. Since the second one is not fit to be brought inside, so therefore it is nothing. It is not, you're not going to be chayv on halal b'chutz. Achas b'chutz v'achas b'fnim. Now, what if I go the other way? What if I offer one outside and one inside? So now, same conclusion as with the blood and the twin cups. Chayv ala chitzona. So the first one you offered outside, that one had an eligibility. That one could have been the one being brought inside. Because only when one is brought, the other becomes disqualified. So the first one that you offered outside, good. That's chutna, I mean, not good. Bad. But bad in a way in which means it is significant, and you violate the etzer of shchut echutz. Just wait. Let's first finish the Mishnah, and then I'll take questions. Ha-panimis mechaperes, and the inside one is mechaper. Right, because the outside one now becomes nothing. It's, in other words, not nothing. The outside one is shechted, and this one left inside still has a possibility of validity. You offer it inside, you're going to be mechaper. And kishem shadama poteres besar kachi poteres besar chaverta. And then going back to the twin cups, just like the blood is poter the meat, so too it poters the other cup as well. Okay, now let's pause. There's a question.
It says one sin for each. So if the person has two sins and he brings the two...
Okay, but we're not... You're right, but we're not talking about that case. We're talking about where there's only one sin on the table.
Okay.
Yes?
Instead of making the second one a chatzis hamesa, why don't we simply make it an ola or a shlomen?
Can't. Not convertible.
There is.
We've talked about conversion in terms of birds, turning a chatzis bird into an ola bird. There is a concept of asham hanitak la'ola, which we're actually going to discuss a little bit before we finish the perek, but you can't do it. You can't turn a chatas into an ola. The simple reason why is because a chatas is a female,
right,
and an ola is a male. Aside from the more general issue of you can't turn one carbon into another, but that's, as we'll see in just a moment, that's not always true. Huh?
So you're
already at the end of the perek.
You let it die. Let it die, or you
yes.
actually make him die.
No, you don't. You're not going to kill it with your hands, but you're going to let it die.
You have a choice.
You let it get movement and you sell it.
Yeah.
You have a choice between the first one and the second one. Either one can be the
chatas. It seems that way. It certainly seems that way.
It's not parallel.
It's similar.
Because the case of the mission was, if you have two cups.
Right. Right.
So imagine which order you did it.
No, but each cup could be used. Meaning once,
and
the same thing is true with the chatas. Same thing is true with the chatas. Meaning each one is eligible, and then it only matters what I did with the first one. If I offer the first one outside, that's shchut echutz. If I offer the first one inside, that's good, and the second one now becomes chatas hamesim.
The thing is with the second one, couldn't you wait for the vavum sell and use that as an ola? For the second chatas that you don't use, right?
Second chatas you don't use? No. It's chatas hamesim. Just get it.
But it's
okay. You'll after the daf today, you'll say it 100 times.
What happened to the
chatas amesa? Chatas has to die. And is it usher behana'a? The Mishnah in Temura says that you can't get benefit from it. There's no isser me'ila, but right, it's one of those cases of ein mo'alam behem ve'inen and mehem. No me'ila, you can't get benefit from it.
No.
It's chatas amesa. You let it die.
And then bury it?
Bury it. The last Mishnah in Temura. You want to talk about Bikias? I don't know. My coffee spiked today. Yeah. But the last Mishnah in Temura talks about what to do with it in terms of burial versus burning.
Mm-hmm. The reason you're not allowed to turn chatas into ola because of intention, right?
No. It's not an issue of intention. It's an issue of violating the ether of shchut echutz.
Did you have to bring if you do something with the second one outside, do shechita, you have to bring another chet?
Yeah, in other words, if that was done b'shogeg, so then that's an ester kares. And then you're correct, absolutely correct. So we start off like this. Look, we're at the twin cups juncture of the Mishnah. So you offer the one outside and then you go to the one inside. So I understand that. I hear that because kula ra'ilios bifnim. But if I sprinkle the blood and then I take whatever's left over, that's shayare hadam. So it's a mitzvah, but it's not essential. And the Gemara's answer is yes, it is. Hamani Reb Nechemyah, Dama Shayari, Dam Shikrivim Bechot Chayav. Okay, so good. So we're going like Reb Nechemyah. So E Reb Nechemyah Ima Seifa. Okay, but then you got to follow through in the Mishnah. Because then you have to assume that the whole Mishnah is going like Reb Nechemyah. We do that. In other words, we normally assume once a Mishnah is following a Tana, so follow through. Ima Seifa, Kibel Dama Bishne Kosos. I'm sorry, the first part of the Mishnah was just talking about one cup. Now we'll move on to two cups. Nasan shneim bifneim pater shneim b'chutz chay v'echa bifneim v'echa b'chutz pater. The Gemara says, "Why? I don't understand because our Mishnah is found like Reb Nechemyah v'harama Remi Nechemyah shayari hadam sheikrivim b'chutz chayav." So seifa asal tanakama de Reb Elazar b'Rebbe Shimon. So the Gemara says, "Okay, that's not an exciting answer, but shift the second part of the Mishnah tanakama of Reb Elazar b'Rebbe Shimon." Now we get to go back to what we learned earlier in the Masechta. The Tanakhama is of the opinion that once one cup was sprinkled, the other cup becomes disqualified. Okay, so once we now are all of that position, so now I know that that second cup becomes disqualified. It's no longer eligible for Shchut Echutz, Halab Echutz, whatever sprinkling may be. What do I need that? What did I gain in the Mishnah by the analogy? Right? It's a nice analogy. But okay, we can make nice analogies all day. Right? You tolerate my sports analogies, right? But it really they don't add anything. Well, maybe they do, but I'm saying if the Mishnah is going to give me an analogy, there's got to be a takeaway point from that analogy. So the two cups of blood, you know what it's like? It's like where you have two carbon chattises. Okay, beautiful. It's a great analogy. But what do we gain from that analogy? So, Hamani Rebbe Hidamar Avuda B'Shas Afrasha Mesa. So the Gemara says, you know what you gain by the analogy? That our Mishnah subscribes to the view of Rebbe. Okay, now, this takes us deep into the world of Chatas Mesa. Okay, deep into the world. Look at Rashi. We're going to go through a good part of this Rashi. Hamani Rebbe Hida Amar. The Maseches Temura. Okay, so we are now learning a little bit of Temura together this morning. Avuda B'Shas Afrasha Mesa Kechata Shekipur Ba'aleha. Okay, if you've lost it at the time of Hafrasha, meaning that I set aside a carbon chatas. I lost it. Okay? Uh-oh. I lost it. It's, you know, life happens.
He knew he was gourmet.
I lost it. And then I set aside another animal. And now I've found the first animal. So, v'shas afrasha mesa. That animal which was lost is now destined to die. It is like kechata shekipru ba'alaha. It is like I actually offered the replacement animal already. So now, even though they're both here, and they both, quote-unquote, have eligibility, once I offer one, the other one is destined to die. V'hachi kamar tana demasnisen. Taima de avda klomar zusha hufrisha al yedei ibud chavertahu. Dechi shochet acha mein b'chutz, acha shekaver chaverta pater. Yeah, and you know what our Mishnah's point is? Is that now that I have these two animals side by side, the one I lost and the one I replaced it with, and they're both here, offering one creates a second one into a chatas hamesa. And if I take that second one and I offer it outside, I'm putter. Because once it's a chatas hamesa, it's not a carbon. It's zero, it's nothing. The damila kos dichui. You know what it's like? Here's where the analogy kicks in. It's like two cups. Where once I offer one cup, the second cup becomes disqualified. Mishum de karebi svirle, dama la misa azla. What's the contrast? Meaning, when are the two animals not the second animal not chatas hamesa? So Rashi gives a scenario. Let's say you have the person who is a somewhat more cautious individual, and right, he has to bring only one carbon chatas. But he says, you know what? What if he's the what if guy? Right, you know that person. What if I lose one, and what if something happens to one, and what if one of them becomes a balmum? So you know what? I'll bring two with me to the base of Mikdash. I can afford it. Right? I'll bring two with me to the base of Mikdash. This is what's called Shtei Chatos La'achrayos. V'ikarshim tovet ha'acha iskaper b'chaverta dafilu Rebbe Moda. Rebbe will tell you both them iskaper b'achas mem v'ashniya tira v'damel la'olas kesa mizbeach. There, the second one doesn't become disqualified. The second one doesn't become a chata samesa. Right. But rather, what you have to do with the second one is let it graze, develop a blemish, right. Redeem it. Okay. But the second one is carbon worthy. Right. Now, in that case, if I offer the second one outside, now I'll get halal b'chutz. Right? Good. So, what we gain by the analogy is that it doesn't talk at all about the two cups, but it speaks to what exactly the parameters are of chatas hamesa. Even if I have both of them here and both of them are in existence, still shechting one will disqualify the other, will render the other a chatas hamesa. That's what we gain. The Gemara continues. We get to finish the parak now. I would have thought that the second one is still carbon worthy, and shechting the second. Because the Chachamim feel that way. Meaning Rebbe tells you that the second one is a Chatas HaMesa. The Chachamim hold the second one is carbon worthy. This case would be no different than if I would have said two from the beginning. The Hachi Kamar, and now, just read inside the Gemara, Time Adav, Dahai Frishte Chatas HaChras, Chadamina, Mikara, Olahu, Uchid Rav Huna, Amarav. You could take a Chatas and turn it into an Ola. So the Gemara says, look, we could do it with an asham. You could take an asham and you could be menatek, and you can, if not needed, right, if the asham is not needed, turn it into an ola. So the Gemara says, no, wait. Me dummy. Hasam asham zachar v'ola zachar. I could take an asham and turn it into an ola. They're both male. Avachatos nekevahi. What are you suggesting? You take a chatzis and turn it into an ola? You can't do that. Chatzis is female, ola is male. I'm Rebbe Chia, miustina, b'si'ir nasi. It's a limited case, very limited, but carbon chatzis brought by the king who needs to bring a carbon chatzis. His is not female, his is male. And it's a very, very obscure case where he sets aside two from the very beginning, and one of them is used, and the other one's not needed anymore. And then, yes, that would be the possibility where I could take a chatas and turn it into an ola. Hadron alacha shochet v'hamala. That ends the 13th parak.
Who's the Mishnah is like Rabbi Nechemiah or Rabbi?
The first part of the Mishnah is like Rabbi Nechemiah. That Shirimer essential.
Yeah, that's in two kind of cup.
And then the second part of the Mishnah with the two cups, that's going like the Tana Kama, that one cup passes the other.
You say that the whole thing should be one.
Yeah. Let me move on. Okay, Paras Chatas. Okay, before we start the next Mishnah, this is the home stretch. The final parak of Zvachim, the 14th parak of Zvachim. Now it starts the same. Meaning that this 14th parak is going to talk about shchute chutz and halal b'chutz, but then it will smoothly transition into abamas, into the backyard abamas. And the transition is so smooth because, really, the two issues go hand in hand. Meaning there was a point historically where I can go into my backyard and offer a karban in my very own backyard.
It's only 14 years
they're talking about, right? Wait, wait, it's okay. Well, I'll spell it all out. So So obviously the two issues are connected, because during those historical periods where I could offer it outside, obviously there's an Isser in the Torah that's put on hold, right? You can't come at me with that many scenarios where there's an Isser in the Torah which is kind of put on hold, right? The 14 years that we go into Eretz Yisrael and we conquer the land, so the Isser of Shchut Echutz put that on hold. There's no Isser of Shchut Echutz. There's no Isra of Halal b'chutz because it's Heter Bamos. Okay. There's another point historically, even after Shiloh was destroyed, where, again, Heter Bamos. So obviously these two issues go hand in hand. The Isra of Shchut and Halal b'chutz and the Heter Bamos. And for this 14th Perek, we will discuss both of those points. Okay, we start off the Mishnah. If you haven't noticed, the entire Amud Beis is a Mishnah.
Yeah.
The Mishnah goes all the way to Kuftid Gimel Amud Aleph. We're not going to finish the Mishnah today, but we'll get through a good part of it. Paras Chatzas Shesar V'Chutz Migita V'Chein Tzir Mishtalech Sheikri V'Chutz Pater. If I take a paradum and shecht it outside the Beis HaMikdash, I didn't violate the Isra of Shchut Echutz or Halab Echutz. And aside from that, by the way, it's really just not. Aside from not being chayiv, it's not the best move. Meaning, paraduma. They're historically, what were they? 11 of them historically, right? Was that the magic number?
Ten
historically.
We did 9, and we have 1 more.
Oh, okay, good. So
I'm keeping.
Right.
You know where it is.
keeping track. Yeah, so you shecht the paraduma outside the base of mikdash. So aside from being a just not intelligent move, but you're pater from the iser of shchut echutz or halab echutz because as a gemara, the Mishnah itself is going to darshan. The Torah says I'm only chayav for something that should have been brought in the base of mikdash. The paraduma is not shecht in the base of mikdash; shecht it outside. Same story with the seer mishalech. Now the seer mishalech has never even shecht it. Right, what's done with it is it's taken off the cliff and thrown off the cliff. But the point is that still there's going to be a patur by that as well, since it's not offered in the Beis HaMikdash.
There's no Mila by the goat that's sent outside if you.
Mila is not the issue over here, meaning there may be Mila, but that's not the issue. The issue is, there is Mila in fact, but the issue is the Isur of Shchut Echutz, and that's only for Karbanos that are offered, that should have been offered in the Beis HaMikdash.
What is the appointed place for the
The pointed place for the paraduma, it's the Har Zeisim, the Har Mishka. So for the Seir Mishtaleach, it's the cliff.
So what you're saying is you checked it not on Har
Zeisim? You checked it somewhere else. You took it somewhere else and you checked it somewhere else.
But both cases, it's
in both cases, you're putter because it's not Roy. So Paras Chata Shesar V'Chutz Migita V'Chein Seir Mishtaleach Sheikri V'Chutz Pater Shenemar V'El Pesach Omor Lo Hivio. You're not going to be chayav. And the Mishnah continues. An animal that was involved in an act of bestiality. An animal that was involved in avodah zarah. An animal that was exchanged for a dog. An animal that was exchanged for services of prostitution. An animal that was crossed, an animal that's a trefa, a yotzei dofen, an animal that was came out cesarean, shikrivan b'chutz pater. In all of these cases, since they are unqualified animals, never having a shasa kosher, so therefore you're going to be pater. Shenemar lifnei mishkan Hashem, kol shein roi lavo lifnei mishkan Hashem and chayav and alav. Okay, the Gemara later on, Rashi tells us, the Gemara later on will point out, you could have just went back to that same pasuk that they quote in the first part of the Mishnah. Okay, and the Gemara is going to ask that question. Bali mumim bein bali mumim kvuin bein bali mumim she'inan. Sorry, I made up words in the Mishnah. Bein bali mumim ovrin she'krivam b'chutz pater. So if you have a bal mum, permanent or temporary, and I shech that carbon outside on pater. Maybe Shimon Omer bali mumim kvuin pater bali mumim ovrim chayav below saase. Rabbi Shimon has a theme throughout this entire Mishnah, which is that even though it's not good now, but it has a potential of being good, so you're going to be chayav on shchut echutz and halab echutz. But only a lo saseh, only a lav, not kareis.
He's
Rabbi Shimon's machmir. Torim shelo higia zmanam, v'nei yonah she'avar zmanam, birds. There are only two birds that are brought as karbanos, the tor and the ben yonah. Mm-hmm. The turtle dove and the pigeon. And you know me, I don't know which one's which. So, but one of them has to be underage and the other one has to be over a certain age. And Rashi points out over here, this has nothing to do with years, it has to do with maturation, the development. You'll start to see a yellowing of the down of the bird. That's a sign of maturation. I don't know what I'm talking about, but you understand. I'm just repeating what Rashi, you know, tells me. So according to the Tanakhama, if it's either underage or overage, the ben yona has to be under a certain age. The tor has to be over a certain age. So if I bring it outside when it is not of the correct age, you're pater. And again, Rabbi Shimon's going to make the same point. Rabbi Shimon is consistent throughout this Mishnah. Omer b'nei yona shavas manam pater v'torim shalo higiyaz manam b'lo sa'aseh. Okay, it has potential, and once it has potential, so then you're going to be chayiv. Also v'esbeno, you know that once you shecht the mother on a given day, any given day, you can't shecht its offspring. We'll get to Chulin. An entire parak in Chulin is dedicated to this topic. So also v'esbeno mechuster zman, or it's just premature. An animal cannot be brought until its eighth day. Right? Yom hashmina v'hala yeratzeh. Also, it could be that mechuster zman means you're not ready. Meaning, let's say you're a zav, you're a zava, you're a nida, you're a yoledes, you're a mitzara, and you didn't finish counting your shiv and akiyim. So premature could also mean you're not ready. So pater. So if you bring a carbon at any point in time, meaning at this premature junction, you're going to be pater. And once again, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Hare Zebelo Sasei. Share Rabbi Shimon Omer, Kol Shu Roi La Volachers, Man Hare Zebelo Sasei, Vein Bo Kares. Okay, why is there no karis? The Gemara will give us psukim. V'chachamim omrim kol sheibo karis em bolo sa'aseyin. Fine. Mechuster zman, the Mishnah now just is clarifying. When we say mechuster zman, bein begufo bein beba'alav. It could mean either the animal's premature, like I explained. It hasn't reached its eighth day yet. Or the owner is premature, meaning the owner didn't count his requisite counting, which is usually 7 clean days. Ezo mechusas man bebalav. Mishnah spells it all out. Hazava hazava vayoledes vametzara. I got all four cases. She krivu chatas am basham am bechutz peturim. If they offer their chatas and their asham outside the base of Mikdash, before having finished counting their shivanakim, their 7 clean days, so that you're going to be pater on the iser of halav bechutz. However, if they offer their oler or their shlamim outside, they're going to be chayev. Why? As Rashi points out, because those karbanas could have been just simply brought as a nedava. Okay. Hama'ale. If I were to offer mi bisar chatas, mi bisar asham, mi bisar kashim, kashim, mi bisar kashim kalem, if I offer the meat of a chatas, the meat of asham, the meat of kashim, kashim, Rashi tells us, that's referring to the kifse atzeres, the meat of kashim kalem. If I offer any of these, I'm going to be putter. Why? Easy. Because they're not offered on the Mizbeach inside. Though these things are eaten by Kohanim, or by Kachin Kalim, by the owner.
They're talking about the
more. No, they're talking about the meat. The leftover of the carbon omer, shtei alechem, alechem aponim, v'shayare menachos. Same story. All these things are eaten by Kohanim. I'm not going to be violating the Isser of Halal B'chutz. It's not offered on the... on the Mizbeach inside. V'ayutzak v'aposes v'abola v'hamolach v'hamene v'hamegish v'hamisadis v'shulchan, and the pouring of the oil, the breaking of the menachah into bits, the mixing of the oil and the flour, the salting of the karban, the hanafa, the waving of the karban, the presentation of the mincha to the Mizbeach, the organization of the table, the cleaning of the neros, Hakomitz v'amikabel damim, the kamitza, and the kabal sadam. If any of these are done outside, you're going to be pater. Okay, these are all avodas that are done, but if done outside, you didn't violate the iser of halal b'chutz. Halal b'chutz is only for offering the carbon outside, or for zrikas sadam, not for any of these other activities. Ve'in chayav lo mishum zars, v'lo mishum tuma, v'lo mishum mechus begadim. Also, if you do any one of these activities that we just mentioned, either you're not a Kohen, or you're Tame, or you're not wearing your Begadim, which we learned earlier in the Masech, there's also a no-no. V'lo mishum shelo richot yadayim v'raglayim, or you didn't wash your hands. Period. In any one of these cases, you're not going to be chayev. You're only going to be chayev for a concluding avoda. These are intermediate avodas, and therefore you're not going to be chayev. Shouldn't be done by a non-Kohen, but not going to be chayev. Good place to stop in the Mishnah. We'll stop over here in the Mishnah. And tomorrow we start with the... We continue in the Mishnah, but we start with the Bamos.